In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. On this wonderful second Sunday of Easter, which is often called Low Sunday, everybody was really busy last week, decided to take the weekend off. We get it. But reality is we're here in the midst of a season. It wasn't just a day. So we are still in the Easter tide. This will carry on until Pentecost. So stick with us. But the beautiful part of this season, just as before Easter Day, everyone began to talk about Jesus, and I mentioned it on Easter. It was actually okay to talk about Jesus for a little while, and this was another one of those opportunities. Well, we live in the whole season, so we get to spend this season intentionally looking at the risen Lord, amen? And what a wonderful thing to be able to do, and what a wonderful reminder that our church calendar gives us that from time to time, we should really look at this risen Lord and begin to ask ourselves a question. And I've been asking myself this question for years, and I suspect I probably will, because I've noticed in my journey that my answer, although has a foundation in the moments of my life, is when I need to know, who is this Jesus to me? And that can change. He doesn't. I do. What moment do I find myself in when I'm crying out to my Lord? And what is it I need from him at that moment? So I thought, well, what a great question. And since I thought it was such a good thing for me to wonder, I thought maybe you'd enjoy it too. And I say enjoy it, and maybe it will bring you some challenge, as it often does for me. But it just seems good to ask, who is Jesus to me? So, knowing that I have this great new AI feature on my Google search, I asked Google, who is Jesus to me? See if it knew. And it came up with a few things. You know, it immediately searches and gives you this really wonderful little spiel. It said, Savior, Son of God, Messiah. I like that. I know that. I think I just read it in a book somewhere. It's a good thing to hold on to. And then it summarizes all the other things that it finds. And it tells you, if you look really close, where it sort of summarized all its information from. And I discovered that some of the information that followed was coming from our Episcopal Church website. Not this one, but the Episcopal Church. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I followed it through. I didn't know we had that page on our National Church website. And so in answering the question, they asked other people. So they had these responses from other people who responded from where they were at that moment in their life and understanding of Jesus. And it was interesting. So one person said that, well, this Jesus to me, this is a relationship that's personal and evolving. I like that. A symbol of justice and love. A moral teacher, a friend, a constant companion, a force that transforms lives. And I thought, all of those things can be true of this Jesus, amen? And we can always go digging deeper. One thing that I'm quite certain was there that I would hope would be remembered, and maybe just because of where I am at this moment in my life, a healer would be a good thing to remember. And is Jesus all of these things? And to that I would say yes. And he's even more than this. And as I was looking at the readings, and what really had me wondering and asking this question of myself was looking at the revelation to John. We're in the introduction, that reading you just heard from Revelation. It's chapter 1, verses 4 through 8 is what was read to you. I want to take you back to chapter 1, verse 1, just the first couple of them. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. So you see, John was given this vision about Jesus. And this vision is really built around the concept of Christ's second coming. When he will come and reign, his kingdom will come, his will be done. That should be ringing in your ears a little bit. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. See, there's a kingdom coming, brothers and sisters. We can talk about how we want to get to heaven, and that's sounds like a great thing, but I don't know about you, but I want to know my Jesus at such a level that I'm going to be in the kingdom when he comes. And John, I think, would agree with that, especially after receiving this revelation, this vision, so to speak, that he's sharing with us. And I think why I take this so seriously from him is the reality that if I have a sense that what we would hear from him, if you asked him, John, tell me who this Jesus is to you. And I think it would sound a lot like what he has to say in the following verses. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Now, that's a whole Bible study, by the way, but just to round it off, and you should go digging later and question me, that's just sort of the fullness of the Spirit of God, those seven spirits, perfection. And there's some things in Jewish tradition that would point very clearly to that for you. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and a ruler of the kings of the earth. Wow. This is just his beginning of letting us know who this Jesus is. And then this revelation that he's received. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That is a good, solid, foundational understanding of who this Jesus is. Now, in the midst of all that, he could be a constant companion. He could be a friend. He can be the healer. He can be all these other things to us. But if we do not understand and know this foundationally, and we only claim him to be one of these pieces, we miss the entire relationship that's available to us. See, there's a fullness in this Jesus that we are called to come to know. And it was so much so that in the early church, the common greeting, one of the common greetings, and sometimes referred to as one of the most basic understandings of our creedal statement of Christianity, is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, from all that we've heard from John, what that means is this Jesus is Lord of all. The heaven and the earth. He rules over the kings of the earth. He freed us from our sins by his blood. He made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. See, this is who this Jesus is. Lord of lords. Now, if we don't take into the fullness of who this Jesus is, maybe Jesus is just the guy that makes you feel good when you're down. We can certainly turn to him when we're scared and ask for his peace. Those that are scared, some aren't, I found out. But if that is the only reason we turn to him, brothers and sisters, we have misunderstood the concept of Jesus as Lord. If we only turn to him when we're scared, if we only turn to him when we're in need, when we only turn to him when we're sick and in need of healing, when we only claim him when we want him, we do not understand Jesus as Lord. See, because Jesus, if he is Lord over all these things, and if he is this person and this God that is described here by John in his revelation, then he needs to be Lord over our lives. Amen? Now, here's the thing. When we can claim that, When we can get a hold of what John is saying here about this Jesus, and we hear again what he says in his quote in verse 8, he goes, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." See, this is who we celebrate here. This is what this Easter tide is reminding us. Let's look at this Jesus. Because when we can get this solid foundation, brothers and sisters, of this Jesus, that is how we can engage him at all the other levels of relationship that is available. Amen? I had a conversation this past week with somebody, and we were talking theology, quite frankly. But I don't want to bore you with that. But the reality is, we're saying, the problem is we have to know the truth so that we can explore what is happening around us. If we only explore what's happening around us without the foundation of the truth, we will be lost. And we see it happen all the time. We see people in and out of their relationship with Jesus Christ because they have not yet come to the reality of who this Jesus is. They have not grasped the fullness that Jesus is all of these things. The Alpha, the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the Lord of all. And when we have that understanding, we grasp the fullness that he is Lord of all, then he must also be Lord of me. And then he can be my friend. He can be my constant companion. He can be the healer. He can be the one who transforms my life. See, we live in this Easter tide as a reminder to look at the risen Lord, the one who was, the one who is, the one who always will be, God Almighty. And when we know that, and we live in this Easter season, we can grasp the fullness of what God has done and what he will do isn't so scary, because we know that it will be good. He will take care of us in our pain, our struggles, our sorrow, our fear. He will rejoice when we are rejoicing. He will love us when we're unlovable. He will free us from our sins by his blood. But he must be Lord of all for us to know all of that. And he must be Lord of us for us to have that relationship with him. We get to be reminded of that. For the next several weeks, look at Jesus, the risen Lord. Not just the moment, but the reality. And we will continue to celebrate through this season with our greeting. And we will claim it every single day. And with joy, we will greet one another. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.